Yeah. When we were doing like summer festivals, we were doing like summer festivals, I would be in like my pajamas. I just rolled out of a bunk and be like, right, let's go.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 147 of Sapnin Podcast with myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan the Organ Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. And ironically,
oh, no.
This podcast
Go on.
Is going to provide some closure to an individual who's constantly making waves in alternative music from the ground up.
Right, well, that works this time.
Yeah,
it does, it's nice, it works as well.
It was nice.
It does work very well, but it does sound like, to anybody who doesn't know, this might be your first time ever listening to Sapnin. Number one, thank you. Please check out all the other episodes. They're really good. Morgan puts puns in to do with the bands and artists or whatever we have on. So it didn't sound like he's really bad at reading. He was just reading song titles and puns he'd pre-written. So that worked very well. Yes. But anyway, yes, this week's guest is Blood Youth frontman, former frontman now. But the wonderful Kaya Tarsis. What a lovely, lovely chap.
So this is a very unique conversation that we're lucky enough to be trusted with. Since 2014, Kaya has been the vocalist and a founding member of UK hardcore metal titans Blood Youth. They got a lot of attention early on with their EPs, became a household name with the two records that's out so far, and touring relentlessly throughout Europe. But just recently, leading up to Slam Dunk 2021, Kaya announced that those festival appearances will be his last with the band due to some very personal and mental health struggles. And we were offered the chance to speak with him literal moments after stepping off stage for the final time with Blood Youth backstage at Slam Dunk Festival South in Hatfield. The fact that we could be trusted with something so emotionally raw like this really means a lot to us, and we wanted to give Kaya a platform to let everything out while telling some incredible stories. I feel we're becoming the go-to place for band breakups and band members leaving. We've obviously documented your struggles post the blackout, Sean. I know it's obviously it's a different circumstance, but you know how hard it can be stepping away from a band like this.
Yes, fair play to him. It takes a lot of balls, a lot of bollocks, and it must have been fucking really hard, because I can't imagine it. Like, it's something, especially like, well, he gets into it, I won't ruin it, but he talks about how much band and music has been a part of his life. And yeah, this was a really heartfelt and emotional chat, and I am very, very thankful to Kaya and to the Blood Youth team for letting us have this. There's a lot of things I wasn't expecting to hear and stuff. Yeah, he's worded it beautifully, and what better time than now to change over when he's feeling how he's feeling. So, thank you very much to Kaya again for trusting us with this. We fucking love seeing him. We've had him on a 2003's episode before this, and what a chap. So good luck with everything that he does in the future. I'm sure he'll fucking smash it like he smashed Blood Youth. I'm very, very excited to see what's next for him.
Yes, definitely. And we, as you said, I very much appreciate the whole team for trusting us so much with something like this. But I do need to stress, this isn't the end of Blood Youth. Kaya has left on good times. They've been releasing new music, leading to an album drop together very soon. And it's just that officially he is now no longer part of the band going forward. But he's going to be telling us everything to do with that and talking about his final moments on stage, to how he's changed as a person in recent years, why this record is a golden gem for him, ridiculous tour journeys, dog shit, and how he got approval from the members of Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, you really killed me like dog shit. And one of our favourite topics to always talk about with your favourite bands, dog shit.
No, but it's such an emotionally driven conversation, and thank you again to Kaya and everyone from Blood Youth for letting this happen. We won't go on too much longer because we want to get straight into it, but just a reminder, as always, if you enjoy what me and Sean do with this podcast, head over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapnin. Loads of extra bonuses on there. There's a wonderful community of friends you can make, and it's just a good jolly that helps us continue this thing each and every week. Give us a follow, a tweet, a message, whatever, on our social media pages at sapninpod.
At sapninpod. That's at sapninpod. That's at sapninpod. That's at sapninpod. That's at sapninpod.
You can move on.
Sorry, I wasn't ready in the beginning. I just had a sip of coffee, and you started that, and then I thought if I do it a couple of extra times, that'll make up for the blunder.
Right. Okay. Yes, but make sure you stay tuned in to the right to the end of the episode as well, because we've had busy weeks personally with some stories we're going to be sharing after the conversation. But enough about us. This is a platform for Kaya. Thank you so much for taking the time. Check this out. Backstage from Slam Dunk Festival 2021.
Just off stage, still warm to the touch, still sweaty, still emotional after his gig. Thank you very much, Kaya. And Sapnin! Lovely chap.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Yes! Yes, our guest at this time
is Blood Youth frontman Kaya. Well,
as of half an hour, ago. Yeah.
I'm former now.
Wow. Yeah.
Does that feel weird to say already?
It does. It feels strange to say. But to be honest with you, I told Chris about what was going on in February of this year.
Oh, well, okay.
And like, I know the date was the 2nd of February because it was the hardest conversation I've ever had to have in my life. So it sounds weird to say I made my peace with it a while back. Being on stage obviously made it all real, because it was always just an idea, just this thing that was happening. And like I said, since February.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But no, obviously this band has been in my life for so long and I've been there since day one. So of course it's weird now. I feel like I've just come out of like a marriage. I've just signed the divorce papers.
Literally, yeah. Well, we appreciate you taking the time for this, man. Okay. Because if people listening to this are not aware and they're thinking what the fuck's going on in the background, we're backstage at Slam Dunk Festival. You've just played your last show with Blood Youth. First, straight off the bat, how are you feeling right now? Like, what's going through your mind stepping off stage and being out of the band now?
It's so strange because our like team is over there, like our management and press and all that stuff like that, and I'm just stood there like looking like I'm like the odd one out now. I feel weird now.
Is there anything
like,
for me, guys?
Anything for me to do? You don't want me to do it? That's fine. So now like Chris is over there now. He's got to do it all now. But it's strange. It'll settle in once I'm back home tonight, and I'm like sitting on the sofa watching Game of Thrones, being like, what am I gonna do now? Like,
sort of thing. Yeah. I did that today. We were talking just before we started recording, and how was the show for you?
Show was when we got here, I was looking at the stage and I was thinking, okay, yesterday was so sick, hometown show, we're from Leeds and stuff. And then I start seeing tweets saying like the gates aren't open yet and it's 10 minutes to go before we're going on, and I'm just there like, don't do this to me. I was thinking the stage managers were going to come over and be like, you got one song or something like that, I don't know. And then I looked at the stage again and there was the whole tent was full, so it was an amazing show. And it's just, you know, it hit home on the last song. I was like, oh, this is it. This is the last one. Don't fuck up.
Was there any tears? Because I know I was...
We got a bit emotional. We had a nice hug. But the thing is, I'm stepping away from the band, but... these guys, I'm going to know them forever. So it's not like, you know, beauty, I guess, is a weird word. There's no beef. There's no drama. There's no weird shit going on. It's just, you know, it's time for the next chapter of this band. Sort of thing.
Is that what it is? Was it you just deciding, I'm going to try something else, or I just want to...
Yeah, I think obviously with like the pandemic and stuff, like we all went through our own little nightmare, literally every person in the fucking world. And when we recorded this out, we've got a new album coming out, and we recorded it February 2020. And then when we got back, the week we got back, everyone went into lockdown. So we've just been sat on this new album for a year and a half now, or longer. So when you're just, like, I don't have a degree. I didn't do that well in school.
Snap.
So all I ever wanted to do ever was be in a band.
Yeah,
and that's
sure.
all I was ever going to do. Yeah. I was talking to Donny outside, and I was saying, I've been in a band since I was 12 years old.
Wow.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And this is the first time in 18... I'm going to be 30 next month. 18 years, I'm not in a band.
Oh, that's crazy.
And... my first show was me and my friends rented a village hall. This is a sort of side note, and we were Red Hot Chili Peppers cover band called One Hot Tribute, and we played the entire Slane Castle set from start to finish. We didn't know bands only played for half an hour. We played for an hour and a half, and all of our friends were there like, oh my god, like, what's going on?
Half hour in there, like, oh, they're gonna finish now.
Yeah.
So since then, until this moment, I've been in a band. So So that's all I've known and all my family has known and stuff like that. So now it's kind of strange.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the pandemic, like we're just, you know, sat there, all this stuff is going on. I'm sat there like, what am I going to do now? Everybody was thinking, is there ever going to be a show again, ever in the world? Like, you know, it was when it was like at the height and no one, there was no vaccines or anything like that. And, you know, your mind starts going and you start thinking, well, I've got to do something else, I guess. And unfortunately, I lost my dad during the pandemic. He got coronavirus, and then in 10 days he was gone. And he was in my life 1 week, and then 10 days later he wasn't there. And that made it all very real to me, because it was always just this thing that happened. And then when it hits literally a rock in my life, my dad, I spoke to him every single day. My dad was the biggest Blood Youth fan in the world. And my life just changed overnight. And I got to a place where it got to January, February, and I just started looking at life completely differently. And I started realizing how short it was and what I've been doing and what I want to do. And, you know, who's in my life right now. In February, I just got to a place where I was like, I have to step away from this, because the last thing on my mind right now was touring. And we were getting like these tour offers coming through and the plan for next year and the plan for the end of the year. And I was just like, well, I'm not here right now for all this. So I rang Chris and, you know, told him, and obviously he was upset, as you will be. And we talked about a hiatus. And then I was like, nah, because I was like, it's not fair for anyone being on hiatus. It's not fair for the band, because then they're just waiting around for me. It's not fair on me, because sooner or later people are going to be like, are you ready yet? The band would never do that to me. But I don't want any sort of resentment, because Blood Youth is, you know, Blood Youth is this great thing. But on top of everything else, I cherish our friendship so much more. And I would rather have my friends than Blood Youth. And I know that's really like a big thing to say, but I would. And I just didn't want to be the speed bump in this band's career. And I didn't want to be, I'm not doing this anymore, so you guys aren't doing this anymore. And also, fans, this is done now. You're never going to another Blood Youth show ever again. I know no one would see it like that way, but I didn't want that. So we just talked about, like, if we can find the right person, I think that we should make it this transition to the next chapter of Blood Youth. So that's, you know,
where that came from. It must be weird to see how quick life can change in that circumstance, because especially with everything you just mentioned, the fact that if you continued in the band, you'd have to really get into a headspace you were a year ago or 18 months ago, because you're revisiting that album, those lyrics, having to talk about it all the time, go through those emotions.
Exactly.
And if you're a completely different person, it must be a hard thing. So was that a factor as well?
Definitely. Like, I looked at the album and I was just like, well, and it's so funny because I talked to my girlfriend about it, and I said, I wasn't with her when I recorded or wrote the lyrics for the album.
Right.
And I was like, the guy you know now is just completely different from this guy that was recording the album. The guy recording that album there will sleep on any floor in Europe just to play a show, just to play a basement show to 15 people. Do you know what I mean? But then the switch goes and life happens and you just change and you have to go with the change and you can't fight it. I had the conversation with myself and I said, you know what, just bury all this and go back on tour and you'll be fine. And I fear what would have happened if I had done that, because I don't know where I would have been at that point. So I didn't want to argue with the guys. That was the last thing I wanted to do. So yeah, so I listen to these songs now and listen to the lyrics and stuff like that, and it's just I'm a different person, and it's really strange. It's just it's a weird way to look back at it, especially when we're doing the video. So it's like, oh yeah. Like, but one thing I said to Chris was, I'm not just gonna go, right, I'm done, see you later, good luck with the album, good luck with the band. What I said to Chris, what I said to our management and everyone else, I was just like, I'll do all the videos you want me to do, I'll do all the promos you want me to do, I'll do all the interview, you know, everything.
Yeah.
And then when it's time, I play that last show, this is all yours now, sort of thing. And I think that was the healthiest way we could have done it.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy with how we've done it.
Well, yeah, it's like kind of like a natural departure as well. You're not just springing it and one day you're gone and everyone's wondering what the fuck's happened. You're kind of like easing into it a bit more for the fans.
Exactly. And I was like, I posted about it last week, I think it was.
Yeah.
And I was so scared. Like, and that's just your head going over it. Since February, I've been writing that post, just like deleting it, writing it again, deleting it, writing it again, sending it to my mum. Like, what do you think of this? Like, just everything. And I was blown away just by the response and just by the messages. And like, people I went to school with were messaging me and stuff like that. And because all people have known in school was I was this guy that never did homework.
Yeah. The band guy.
Did this. Music guy. Exactly. Yeah. Would get the bus after school to lie. I would lie about my age and play shows in Leeds as a 15-year-old in nightclubs, me and my band. And they would realize whilst we're playing. And I remember someone came up to me on stage and was like, you're fucking 15 years old. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah. And we're just like, I ring my mum to come pick us up. Then we have school in the morning. Like mid set.
What do you want me to do? Finish or not?
What was did you have any involvement in helping the band find a replacement?
Yeah. And he's going to be announced extremely soon.
Okay.
And he's one of our close friends. I've sat with him. I've talked to him about the songs. He's messaged me asking for, like, you know, what about this? What warm-up do you do? All this stuff. It's very, you know, we're friends with him.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And he's here today. Like, you know. Oh. So it's the most, the healthiest thing I've ever, like, done, like, in my life, was just this sort of transition was just so easy for me. And of course there were moments where I was just like, but these are my lyrics. Like, you know, but it's not my lyrics, it's Blood Youth's lyrics. And you know, we write everything together and everything like that. And
I like the idea of the first song being, my name's fucking Kyle.
He's gotta go and go,
oh, what?
Obviously, every thought under the sun goes through your head, and I you know, I won't lie. I've had moments since February where I was just gonna do like a Wolf of Wall Street, I ain't leaving sort of thing. You know, but you know, it, at the end of the day, it's the correct decision for me, and I think it's the healthiest decision for this band and this band's future. Like, it's the next chapter. It's the passing of the torch, sort of thing. You know?
Yeah, well, that's a good analogy. Passing of the torch. I guess it's unique to see that a band has gone through something like this and you're still involved that much and giving a blessing to someone else, because
it never happens.
You know, it never happens. And there's always seems to be some kind of animosity between ex-band members and like, why did this person leave or get kicked out or whatever, but it literally seems that you're all on the same page and 100%. That like those bridges aren't burnt.
No, and we did an interview for a magazine last week. Both of us did the interview, did a photo shoot together, and I was like, I turned to him, I was like, I've never seen this before.
Yeah.
We're there in the photo shoot looking like a gothic two-piece about to drop our like electro album or something. I was like, I've never seen this before. I was like, yeah, I guess it's a new thing. Maybe down, you know, in the past there was.
I'm trying to think of front men who have like swapped or...
I think someone mentioned to me that maybe like Arch Enemy did it or something like that.
Kill Switch maybe?
Oh yeah, Kill Switch.
But,
yeah.
I think they originally, both the singers left on kind of bad terms.
But now
they're back and they'll swap and they'll do shows together and stuff. Is that something you'd ever think about doing? Jumping up and...
Oh, I don't know. I'd come
I know
in
it's
for,
too soon.
When are you coming back? Of course, when they play in Leeds, I'll hop up for a cheeky.
I know these words. I'm sure I know the words.
I recognise this song. Like, I'll pop up for a guest if they want me to. Like, you know, of course. I'm gonna be at the shows. You know, just like at the back, like boo.
Instantly, just turn into the big old man in the back. Going, I remember the old singer was much better.
I've got this great idea. Like, I might just like when they're on tour, I might just like secret. Well, they're gonna listen to this, but secretly show up to a show and just be in the pit and then just be like, fuck off.
Well, there's a lot we want to kind of touch on in this episode. Sure. Why we're having you here, why everything's so raw and emotional, but really, what's this last week being like for you, being able to put that post up? You just said this being a long time coming, doing drafts, deleting it and whatnot, to then come into Slam Dunk and preparing for these shows. Is there any kind of different approach for you? Were you taking things in a little bit more?
Honestly, I've never slept so well in my life after really? I posted that status.
Wow.
Ooh. It's just been on my chest for so long. And we're posting, I felt so guilty because we're putting out videos and we're announcing tours and everyone's messaging me, I can't wait to see you on this day. I can't wait to see you on this day.
Like, it's like, he's on my guest list.
The last thing I wanted to do was mislead people, but I don't want to hinder the band with the release. And I'm just there like, oh no. And I thought people were going to be like, you misled us and you've announced tours and stuff. But, you know, putting out that thing, everyone knows what's happening. Like, my girlfriend, bless her, she's been in this with me from the beginning. And she just, you know, I've been up at night at like 3 a.m. looking at the post. Just been, she's like, what are you doing? She's like, you're not going to post it now. She's like, sleep on it and stuff like that. So it's been really nice. And like, we rehearsed like 3 days ago. The new singer was there. Like, I did a song. He hopped up and did a song. Like, it's weirdly healthy. It's suspiciously healthy. Yeah.
Such a clean, like, separation. Yeah. What's going on? Yeah. But is there anyone, like, in particular or any messages that surprised you? Like, maybe you heard from someone you weren't expecting since posting
that? Yeah, loads of people I wasn't expecting. Loads of people in the industry that I thought just didn't give a shit. You know, there's people in the industry you just think they don't even know who this band is and stuff. And people popping up to me and DMing me and stuff like that, and I just feel like, oh, thank you. Like, I didn't even realize, you know, you would have even seen this. Like, and yesterday, people coming up to me and talking about it and stuff like that, and everyone's just been so great. And like, I was nervous coming to this festival because it's the elephant in the room, really. You know, I'm in the guest area and people are coming up like, oh, I'm just like, yeah, I know, yeah. But you know, that's just natural being a human, you know, and be it like the awkward British thing we do of like, you know,
the weather, huh?
Yeah.
Let's talk about the weather instead of thing we want to ask.
I wasn't nervous about playing the shows. I was just nervous about being with all these bands again but it's been great, you know. I haven't had a single moment of like awkwardness or anything like that, you know.
Yeah. Was there anything in particular, like coming off stage then, or like during the last song, where you take a mental snapshot or anything like that?
Yeah, I definitely am, and you know, I just gave Chris a really big hug because obviously I love everybody in this band, but me and Chris are from Harrogate, and me and Chris played shows in Harrogate when we were teenagers to no one and like to two people. His band was supporting my band and all this stuff. And first time me and Chris met, he sent me a hotmail.com email saying, would it be cool if my band supported your band? We played a bar to like six people. Like, and so we've been on this journey from the start. We've played arenas together. We've played Download and Leeds Fest and all the blah, 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 doing all these milestones and had catering with Corey Taylor together and looking at each other like, fucking hell, like, just shit like that. And it was a real moment for both of us. Like, even when I was talking to his mum yesterday, I was just like, oh God, this is really intense. Like, you know, but you know, we just gave each other a massive hug, and we're going to hang out next week anyway. We're going to be on Warzone in 2 days together anyway. So it's fine. You know, there's
nice. Well, keeping with the nice memories and the mad memories theme, what other crazy memories have you got from over the years?
God, it's so funny because, like, she's going to love this, my girlfriend. I'm mentioning her so much. She was at the show yesterday, and obviously it was fucking sick, and, like, the crowd was going mental, and we came off stage, and that was the first time she's ever seen us live. And I was like, oh, we played some shit shows. and then there's all those moments where you're just playing to like the promoter.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You're just like, oh God. Like, you know, there's all those moments. And then there's moments where I don't want to be fucking dropping names, but it's one of my last
This is exactly what we want, right?
Yeah.
Because I've done this with every, like, we had Simon Neil from Biffy on, and I was like, tell me a moment where you couldn't believe what the fuck was happening. And he said, oh, we did the MTV Europe Awards, and we were playing Crazy Train, an Aussie sat in front of me while I'm playing Crazy Train, and he was like, I looked to my left and Slash is playing the solo. Yeah. And I was like, that's fucking brilliant. He's like, and you could see in him, he was just a kid. He was like, yeah, fucking what?
One of my wildest memories, and I will tell my future kids this day if I ever have kids, I'll never forget when we supported, we did a couple arena shows with Prophets of Rage. Obviously, it's members of Rage Against the Machine, Cypress Hill, and
stuff like,
exactly. And I'll never forget, we came off, we rolled up in our like little van, and it was just us supporting them. We were the only support band. And I walk in to the, we played, the first show was Kentish Town. And I walked into the main floor, and just like the Rage Against the Machine members are just on stage. And I'm just looking up at them like, and you know what I did? I got my phone out, because I forgot where I was, and I was playing the show.
Naturally.
And one of their like bodyguards flashed his light at me. He's like, no phones, no phones. And I was just like, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Like, I put it away. I was like, I'm sorry. And then like Tom Morello looks at me and I'm like, ah. And then like, I just ran to the back of the thing. And I just sat in our dressing room. We played the show. And then the next day we were playing in Germany, and the arena was like a 10,000 cap arena. We go on stage, play the show. I come off stage and Tom Morello's in the hallway of the arena, and he just looks at me and just goes, that was a really good show, man. And I went, in my head, I went, fuck off. And I was just like, thanks, Tom Morello.
Two names, like, thanks, Fred.
And I'll never forget with that show, another moment of like, what the fuck, was when we were sound checking, the members of Rage Against the Machine were throwing an American football around whilst watching, and they kept like grabbing it, holding it, and then just like looking at the stage and just like nodding. And I was just like, oh, fucking hell.
This is
the most, I've never been so nervous sound checking in my life.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So there's like obviously moments like that. And one thing I love about this band is we're 100% fans first.
Yeah.
We're like, we will run up to like bands and ask for photos and stuff. I'm like being in Download and seeing Ben Wyman from Dillinger like walk across, and Chris goes to me like, get a photo of him. And I was like, I can't speak to him, like, because I used to dive off the stage for Dillinger when I was 16, like, and stuff like that. And that's one thing I talked with Harry about in the interview we did together. I was just like, there's no ego in this band, and that's the beauty I think of Blood Youth, is that we are fans first. And I think a lot of bands lose that very quickly. And you know, I've had moments, I'm not going to name names, of being on tour and asking members of bands for photos, and they've been like, no, like that. And it's just, you're just like, oh, what happened there?
Yeah.
Like, to get to that moment.
But that's, it's nice to see that you guys have had that kind of that atmosphere and like attitude towards it all, because that's what we tried to do on this, is to like get people's stories from moments where they've met their idols and everything. Because at the end of the day, we're all supposed to be music fans.
That's why
we got into it. Exactly. That's why you're... But like, I mean, yeah, when you think back and you think, well, Jesus Christ, we got approval from the guys from Rage Against the Machine. They've stopped playing football because they like a bit of our song. That's got to be like an ultimate life moment for like the younger you, especially.
Exactly. And I had posters of all these guys on my walls. And I did ring my mum after the show and tell her. I was just like, mum, I've met Tom Morello. She was like, who's that? Like, you know,
The one with the blue guitar on my bed.
And I was like, oh yeah, he was on Guitar Hero. Like, you know, just all that shit. And I'll never forget those moments. It's being in these guest areas, and I'll just like turn to Chris, I'll be like, oh shit, that's Thingy from Thingy, and Thingy. I've seen your band live loads of times.
Oh god, alive, sorry.
After school, me and my friends would get the bus and go see your band. We are the children of the band.
We've all grown up. That's all. Yeah,
that's brilliant.
Awesome. You know, I wasn't expecting that at all.
No, man, of course. And like,
yeah, I saw your band in a fucking terrible
cockpit.
You made me want to be in a band. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, to be a better band than the shit that you were doing. Be better.
You gotta do it. One thing I'll always say to younger musicians and people that, you know, come up to you and like, what do you got to do to be in a band, man, and do all this? Just be fucking humble and just know where you come from, and remember that at any moment you can still be playing to a promoter. Yep. Any moment, like, yep, that can happen. So yeah, never ever lose that, you know.
Well, yeah, that's, yeah, well, that's definitely something that we try to tell everybody, really, because genuinely, all of the amazing, like all of the massive bands I've been lucky enough to meet have always been absolutely lovely. The ones who seem to be the biggest dickheads are the smaller bands on the way up.
Yes, 100%.
Who haven't got a fucking 100%. Clue of, yeah, how anything works, and it's just like, oh, well, I'm headlining this today. Like, yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Give it 2 weeks and you can find a fucking dog in Cardiff Bar Fight. Like I did before, literally did a gig to a dog.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I've been there. It's just just be nice. Just be better. Just like, there's no need to be a fucking, absolutely no need to be a dick in this world.
No way.
Yeah, but like, I think people remember more you being a nice person 100%. Than looking cool or being, oh, well, he was a rock and roll star dreaming. Exactly. It's just like, people exactly. got more time for it.
Exactly, because unfortunately, unless you're like Foo Fighters, Metallica or something, people will move on from your band.
Yeah, and, yeah, exactly.
And you know, there will always be bigger bands and people headlining above you and stuff like that. So, and like, one thing I definitely am proud about is that the album that's about to come out is my favorite Blood Youth album we've actually recorded. And when I was driving up here, because I drove up here in my Nissan Micra, because after this I'm going to drive back home because I don't need to be here anymore. I was listening to Tarantino on Joe Rogan.
Okay.
And in no way am I comparing myself to how big Tarantino is. Let's just say that.
You guys are as bad as...
Listen, I am the Tarantino of the music industry. No,
he's leaving this because I think I'm going to be a genius film director all of a sudden.
And Joe Rogan was saying to him, I'm a massive fan and I just want you to continue making movies forever. And Tarantino said, like, I would rather go out on a huge movie I'm proud of than just be continuing to just release movies when I don't want to release them and I'm just doing it for the, you know, well, I'm not going to say paycheck because we don't know what that is in this scene, but you know, just for the hell of it and just putting it out. And I was sat there and I was just like, I can just warm to that so much. And I started thinking about this album and I was like, I think that's why I'm proud of like my journey with Blood Youth and ending it on this chapter, because I genuinely believe this is my best vocal performance on an album, my favorite lyrics we've ever done, like the riffs, everything. And I hope people can kind of understand that as well, that I'm not just like ducking out or anything like that. Obviously there's all the reasons why I am stepping away, but I'm so proud to be finishing on this album and I'm so glad that it's actually getting released and stuff. Also, I am the Tarantino of the scene.
Yeah, I was going to say, but also, follow that, you fuckers.
Yeah,
let's
literally.
See Blood Youth, follow that.
Yeah. No, but it's nice that you kind of, you can go out with a gem that you're really
exactly.
proud of. You've got
and
that
it's,
background.
It's nice for the band now because they have a whole different person to work with now. And it's exciting for them to be like, what's the next sound for Blood Youth? What's the next album gonna sound like? This guy that's coming in, his vocal range is fucking ridiculous. Like, it's mad and it's just so heavy. So I cannot wait to actually hear, as a fan now, the next Blood Youth album. Yeah. No. I'm gonna be that guy tweeting them like, we want new music.
Come to Brazil.
Come to Newcastle.
Fucking leave it out, Newcastle, Brazil.
Yeah, wow. Man. And one thing that, like, I don't want to be creating my own questions and answering them.
Please do. Go for it.
I'm looking forward to, and this is me being deadly honest, is falling back in love with heavy music again, because I think that I've done it for so long, and you put so much into this album, and then it all comes out, and then I have lost my love of touring. That has unfortunately flickered out because I've done it for so long. But I cannot wait to be sitting at home and be like, I think I'm going to start writing again. And I want that light to start. I think when that flame starts flickering, you have to address it, which is what I'm doing right now. And that's why I want to step away and I want the bonfire to appear.
Good.
And be like, oh my God, I've got so much material now.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to the future, because my sister texted me last night. She was like, I can't believe I've missed your last time on stage. And I was like, whoa. I was like, this is my last time with Blood Youth, I was like, there's no way this is my last time on stage.
I'm not dead yet.
Yeah, exactly. So who knows? You know, I might play a show in 20 years. I might play a show in 6 months. I don't know. And I like that that's in the air and I'm not tied down to anything. And I'm definitely done with touring. I'll say that categorically right now. But I can't wait for the moment, if it ever happens, it might not ever happen, to be like, I think next month I'm going to play a show in Leeds. And if I ever have any material, to, you know, it's such a nice place to be, I think. I'm trying to look at it as the most positive way possible, you know.
Oh, no, for sure. But it's good that you're open to that. Like, exactly. You're not trying to rush into anything. You can have this break now. Exactly. See what happens. It might never happen. But do you think, like, it would be something for you just to write therapeutically at home and then see, like, oh, maybe this could be a solo project, maybe this could be a band, like, just go with that in the future, just see what happens?
Yeah, I think that I will always write music, because I think when you are doing this for so long and this is your passion and stuff like that, you never lose that passion for creating music. You always want to write, you always want to be, have an outlet and stuff like that, and that's because it's healthy as well. You know, I might write songs again and never release them. I might write them just for me. But if I'm ever sat there and I think it would just be fun to release this. Now I just want to have fun with music. I just don't want to question it anymore, sort of thing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or in 6 months' time, you become one of these famous SoundCloud rappers.
Yeah, and you've exploded. You never know. And
six never months' time, face covered in tattoos. Yeah. Looks completely different. Lil Kaya.
Lil Kaya.
Wow, that's good.
You know what? Me and my roommate, who is actually the producer of Blood Youth, like everything we've ever recorded, we've recorded with him. So me and him, this is such a, I'm going off on a tangent here. Me and him, this is before we had girlfriends, remember?
It's good start to story.
Me and him would just get hammered and write trap songs and record it in his room.
Wow.
And what we would do is, when we were getting the taxi to the city, we would play it to the Uber driver.
Just recorded this,
and we would just play it, and then the next morning we'd be like, fucking hell.
I like the idea of the Uber driver being like, if I give you a good review, will you give me five stars?
Yeah.
Like,
mate, you got an aux.
That's awesome. Yeah. So you never know, there might even be trap songs floating about that.
You never know. Hey, you never know. We'll see. It might never happen. It might happen 6 months' time, 10 years' time. Who knows, you know? But I like that that's just in the air, and I haven't completely, you know... And one thing that I always think is, it's... My dad would want me to do it, you know? He wouldn't want me to just stop being creative and stop, you know, doing this. We would record a Blood Youth song. I would immediately send it to him and be like, what do you think of this? And like, he would be giving me his honest opinion and stuff like that. Yeah. And
needs more trap. Yeah. I like that stuff. We just threw in a taxi.
What was going on here, you know? And I remember the last song we played was Cells today. And that's one of my favorite Blood Youth songs we've ever recorded. And after we recorded that song in the studio, I rang my dad and I was just like, oh, wait till you hear this chorus. Oh, nice. Like, I love it and stuff like that. So I was always bouncing off him with music. And the first ever show I went to, my dad took me to see Deep Purple when I was like 7. I sat on his shoulders and I was like, oh, what's this? Like, what's going on here? And it's always been there. Do you know what I mean? So I think, naturally, that light was always going to flicker after what happened. So, like I said to you at the start of what I was just saying, that I need to fall back in love with it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I think, I think that's where our stories kind of match, really, because like they got to a point. Well, I guess my band left me. It was the other way around. I did the opposite of Blood Youth. Yeah. All my band went, I don't want to be in a band with that cunt anymore. And I went, no, but I still want to be in a band. They went, well, we're not a band. And I had got to the point where I was jaded by touring. And, it, you know, I was like, just seeing it as a job, even though it didn't pay, as a job. And, yeah, it got to the point where I was a bit jaded by it. But then it took me, like... 2 years, I guess, after that, And then I got inspired again. I was like, I have to be in a band again.
Yeah.
I have to do something. I have to be around bands. I have to go to gigs.
Exactly.
And here we are now.
And exactly. And I'm looking forward to that, you know. And it might not be a band. It might be something completely other thing that's creative or what like that. And like I've been saying, I cannot wait for that moment when that happens, because I know myself and I know it will happen. Like, I do know that I just cannot like bottle everything up. I'll always write songs, so we'll see what happens. I like leaving it open.
Yeah. Open-ended.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Well, speaking, you've mentioned the new album quite a few times, and two things I've really noticed is you said it's probably your favourite record you've done with Blood Youth, but you're a completely different person now.
Yeah.
So when you look at it, I mean, what stands out for you in terms of what makes it the best and what separates you from the person you were to the person you are
today?
You should
be a fucking journalist.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd think I'd have a degree.
Fucking...
Oh, I do. Shit,
you do.
The thing is, when we first started Blood Youth, obviously when you're a new band, you are like, what should we sound like? Like, what bands do we like? And what this? And I'll admit that, you know, there were times where we would be like, right, we know if we put this here, it's going to be a pit. People that like Circle Pits will like this bit. People that like, you know, this band will definitely like this song. You know, I think that's every band does that. And it's taken so long, and I don't think it's even happened yet, for us to really get to a point where we've been like, let's just write songs that we want to hear, like not what anyone else wants to hear, or what's going to get us popular, because, you know, whatever. Like, and so, like, well, the first album was definitely a continuation of the EPs. And then the second album, we just changed completely. Obviously, we got heavier. Every fucker under the sun compared us to Slipknot, which is not an insult to me at all.
Yeah, yeah.
You sound like Slipknot. I'm like, fucking sick. Yeah, like,
yeah. One of the greatest metal bands of all time.
Yeah. Thank you.
What?
Like,
yeah.
And what I realized very quickly is that it's always going to happen with this band. Even when I'm here listening to a song, I'm like, I don't hear Slipknot on this at all, but whatever. And then with, you know, with Starve, we truly found the style that we wanted to do, which is very like new metal influence, very heavy, very like jumpy, everything like this. And then we got to a stage with this album where we were just like, let's just keep getting heavier. Let's put blasts in it. Let's just, you know, all this stuff. And I just love that we're just now, we were, you know, I don't know what way to phrase it, but when we were writing the album, we were just at
a
stage.
We have.
And we just got to a point where we're just like, let's not be afraid. Let's do more electronic stuff, more, you know. There's that film called Walk Hard. I don't know if you've seen it. Oh. He goes through his experimental phase. Yeah. 50,000 didgeridoos.
Yeah. Like, the wrong kid died. Yeah. I love that film.
Obviously. And we just, I listen to it now and I'm just like, yeah, like if I was, you know, I would be a fan of this myself. I am a fan of it. So it just makes me smile. I love listening to it. So, and the songs we released, the reaction's been amazing. So I can't wait them for, you know, to hear the rest of the album.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be a wonderful experience for you. But we won't keep you too much longer, because I know today's quite emotional with everything. But you've mentioned falling out of love with touring. Yeah. And early on, you said, obviously, you've been a band who have played massive arenas with some of your favourite bands supporting. You've also played fucking weird venues in the back at Andes, out of Poland, and slept on the floor and whatnot. So just, what made you fall out of love with it? Is it just like the graft and all that? But also, what's some of like the weirdest experiences and places you've had to stay?
Oh, Lord.
Because I don't think people realise that sometimes there's no other option than sleeping in the van.
Jesus
or,
Christ,
oh,
tell me
man.
About it.
Like, I think that it was one of those moments where, because you know what, being at home for so long during lockdown and just kind of putting everything to the back of your mind and everything that happened and everything like that, there was just no desire for me to go back on tour. And I think that being in a band is one of the fucking hardest things you could ever do, emotionally, just like physically, like everything, like financially. Like,
damn, yeah.
It's so difficult. And I have so much respect for all these bands here, because they have all done that graft, you know. And I just, I just think that if the desire isn't there, you shouldn't do something. And that's something I've been saying since this day one of this band. I've always talked about mental health, and I've always said that you should just be honest and just do what's right with you and stuff like that. And when I started questioning it myself, I was just like, well, then you just shouldn't do it. Like, and I remember telling my family and everyone like that, and they're like, what? Like, what do you mean? Like, but this is what you do. Like, and I was like, I know, but it just doesn't feel right anymore. And it's not fair on these guys for someone to be in the band that thinks like that. That's so not fair on anyone. It's not fair on the fans of the band. And I don't want to ever be on stage somewhere and think, I just want to be at home now. Like, but to move on to the tough side of touring, like, it, you know, I remember waking up one morning. We were sleeping on a kitchen floor, and there was a dog shit on my pillow.
Oh. The luxury.
And I remember I got up, I grabbed my duvet, sleeping on the kitchen tiles with a duvet over me. I got up, grabbed the duvet, went, fuck this, and went and stood outside. That was our like first ever tour.
Really? Oh, wow.
Oh, God, yeah.
Good stuff.
Overnight the dry. The thing is, you carried on to it. Like,
yeah. If that was exactly. Like,
yeah, if that was my first, I go, nah, fuck this.
Thing is, I was a young man.
Like, just eager to be out of the house. And
it was so early on, and I just remember thinking that, oh, well, this won't happen again. Like, nah, I obviously slept on floors all over the world. Well, not all over the world, but all over Europe and stuff like that. And had some great memories. And, like, you walk into a hotel and you're like, oh, like, you know, I got £22 in my account, but, oh, this hotel's sick. Like, and then, like, of course, like, we've done drives where we've slept in the van, and I've been sleeping under the seats. And, like, we've all just, like, slept over, and then you just get out and you're like, fucking hell, like... And
dripping on, being dripped on by the condensation of everybody's breath from
all
the night.
Those, like, slept in bands like lockups with all their gear everywhere, and like just have like a drum case or a pillow and all this stuff. And this is what I mean about it being the fucking hardest thing you could do, because you've got to get up from having a dog shit on your pillow and then go play a show to 10 people. Do you know what I mean? And then you still want to do it. But those moments when you're on stage, like it was today, and you're seeing a whole tent of people singing words back to you, you're just like, oh, this is why we do this. And like seeing, you know, having, you know, catering with Corey Taylor, and you're just like, how did we get here? Like, you know, just those moments make everything worth it. And it's just... You're coming back home just on a high, and you're just like, whoa, that show was fucking incredible. Your first sold out hometown show, and you're just like, fuck, like that was amazing. First show that sold out London show, you're just like, oh, we're in the big city now.
Yeah,
like,
I remember that, yeah.
It's those moments where you just, they overthrow any dog shit. Like, and I think back to those memories, and I'll tell my kids about those memories, and I'll tell the dog shit story as well. But I can't wait. But if I ever have kids, for them to go, I want to be in a band. Because I remember my dad's reaction when I said that to him, and he was just like, yeah, do it. And until his last day, he was still saying it. So, you know.
Yeah.
And if you're listening to this, start a fucking band and go on tour.
Yes.
Because you'll make so many lifelong memories and lifelong friends.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you have experiences that not a lot of people will ever have.
Exactly.
But just to leave you with one last question now.
Sure.
Obviously, you know, this is being... A strange day for you, I'm sure. You know, you've ended Blood Youth now, but you don't know what's going to happen in the future. But what's next for you, just in day-to-day life now? What's your plan, you know, for the immediate future?
You know what I'm craving right now? I'm craving just some normality, just some stability, and just to not have... It was never a burden. It's never been a burden in my life. It's actually been one of the greatest things I will ever do in my life is being Blood Youth. No matter what happens in my life, you know, this will always be my favorite chapter of my life. And I just now need to step away. And like I said to you, just have that urge for music again and just sort of... Yeah, just be normal, and because there's nothing wrong with that, and it's great, and just work and come home, have dinner, and just do it all again and stuff like that. That's all I want right now. You know, touring's timetables and catering and stuff like this is just not what I need in my life right now. And like I said to you, and if you're listening to this, if something doesn't feel right, there's nothing wrong with stepping away, and there's nothing wrong with reevaluating things. And if people don't understand that, then they shouldn't be in your life. And I'm so lucky to have people in my life that totally understand that and have never argued it and have just always been every step of the way with me, you know?
Yeah. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for taking the time for this, man. It's been beautiful.
Not just that. Thank you for the music.
Yeah.
Thank you for the good times.
Yeah,
the songs and, I'm singing.
I was singing.
Yeah. Songs I'm singing.
Thank you very much.
Man. Thank you for listening. And thank you for having a platform where people can speak about this, because I don't think there's enough platforms to do that. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Our pleasure. Thank you, dude. And hopefully we'll see you soon.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Yes.
Yes, fantastic. Thank you very much to Kaya and to Blood Youth and to the Blood Youth team for letting us have that wonderful conversation. Yeah, after everything he's been through, you can understand why he wants to step away from music for a bit.
Yeah. But
yeah, hopefully that won't be forever, and hopefully we'll get to hear more from Kaya soon.
Yeah, it's just nice to see that, you know, he's been doing this for so long. He mentioned, you know, since a kid he started the Red Hot Chili Peppers tribute band. So
yeah, we let him off for that. I didn't want to.
Hey,
I didn't want to go too hard. He was telling us some really deep things, and when he said that, I was like, oh, I want to cut his head off. But then,
Come on, the chilies aren't that bad. They're not that bad, Sean. Right, that's an argument for a different day. But you know, you can see why he wants a little bit of normality and everything now after doing this for so long. So I wish him and his family and everything all the best of luck going forward. Hopefully, he can find himself in this good place, and then who knows what the future holds for him in the world of music. But just a couple of things I need to let you all know about Blood Youth going forward as well, is that since this wonderful conversation, they have announced their new vocalist in Harry Rule. Great name, who you might remember from God Complex. They're currently on tour in the UK right now, the week this is being released, for the month of September 21. So go and check out all the dates of that. We've also announced a UK and European co-headline tour for 2022 with Kane Hill, and their new album featuring Kaya will be dropping very, very soon. More details, dates and everything to be announced. So the website, their social media, all that is the best place to keep an eye. And I'm sure we'll have a conversation with the rest of the Blood Youth guys following this in the future sometime. It'd be interesting to get their take on things as well.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would. That is a fucking hell of a European co-headline tour, my Blood Youth and Kane Hill. Oh, that is fucking riffs and metal, brah. Riffs and fucking metal.
And the UK tour they're currently on as we speak, Death Blooms are supporting them.
Death Blooms. Well, funnily enough, on one of the days off on that tour, Death Blooms are playing in a town called Bristol in England. Yeah, I don't know if you've heard of it. Very liberal town. I quite like it, actually. And yeah, they're playing at a show on September the 21st. Death Blooms are headlining at the Exchange in that town called Bristol.
Mm-hmm.
And are supported by a band called Raiders.
Raiders? Are you on about Raiders Band UK on all the social media platforms?
That's the exact band I'm on about, Morgan. They're one of my favourite new bands. And by new bands, I mean a band that's been going for 5 years, but I haven't done much because it was a fucking pandemic and everybody else in the band's got jobs as well.
Who's the vocalist for that band, Sean?
I think it was that fat fella. I used to be in one of the big Welsh bands. What were they called? Hond? No, not Hond. No, they're back here. Fucking hell, what band was he in? Kids, no. I can't remember. He's one of the fucking stupid Welsh lads that was semi-popular about 2009. but yeah, go and check out Raiders Band supporting that Death Blooms, because I quite like the band. The music's all right. I bet they're even wilder live. I bet they're better live because the frontman enjoys playing live more than he enjoys recording.
Do you know what, though? I just imagine someone's listening to this. I have no idea what the fuck the joke is that you are in the band. So I'm sorry to ruin
what?
It. But yeah.
You are? When did that happen?
Oh, did you not realise?
Is there a thing in the email saying I've...
You've joined...
To join? What?
Yeah.
I will join a band. I'll join any fucking band.
You better get practicing then for this show in Bristol.
There you go, job done.
Nice, there we are.
21st of September, I think. It's a Tuesday in Bristol. So go this check
Tuesday.
That out.
This Tuesday now.
This Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday come in now. If that's if you're listening to this, the day this comes out on a Friday. This comes out on a Friday. Yes. Go and see that show. It should be very, very good.
It will. It will be indeed. But while we're on about some personal stuff, both you and I have had very busy week behind the scenes and stuff. Not only have we sneakily been recording some more in-flesh podcasts with people. Mental. But you went up to the London to do I imagine this is technically your first kind of comedy appearance thing in a way.
Yes. Well, basically what's happened is a while ago, a friend of mine called Victoria Layton, she asked me to go on her podcast, which is called the Comedy Arcade Podcast. And so I did that via Zoom. I did two of them and they were both very, very funny. One of them is featuring Mark, I believe his name is, from A1, which 90s kids will remember, the centre part in Lothario's A1. So yeah, I did that podcast and then she asked me to go and do one live in the flesh for London Podcast Fest, sponsored by Acast, who are our podcast provider, but you wouldn't know. And so yeah, I got offered to go up and be on a panel with four actual comedians and myself. And yeah, so it was my first actual live comedy event and I absolutely loved being there. I loved getting to meet the other comedians. It reminded me of like doing gigs for the first time.
Oh wow.
Like I was excited. I was just chuffed to be around people who were actual comedians. And yeah, it was awesome. And yeah, a bunch of people came from who are supporters of the podcast.
Yeah.
So and of Raiders. So yeah, it was absolutely wonderful to see everybody who came. Thank you so much for watching, for coming along. I had a good time and yeah, it's just got really, it's like the moment when you're playing a gig and you look and you see someone from a band you like watching your band and you're like, Jesus Christ, this is mad. But there was a moment where I looked across at the panel and I was telling a story and they all looked like they were laughing and I was like, ah, I may belong here. So yeah, that was super interesting. And then Vix has asked me to do more stuff and potentially do live stand-up in the flesh.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Well done. Well, yeah. Congrats on that. I'm looking forward to you actually doing a stand-up set eventually. I'm sure you're not
going to. Thank you. What did you get up to?
Well, on the same day in a different dimension. Sorry, dimension.
You headlined Wembley Arena doing comedy. You no. better fucking not have, Mark.
No, you went to London. I went to the South Wales big... Sorry, is it a big city? It's not a big city, is it? What is it?
I don't know what you're trying to say, but you've run out of
words. I went to Bridgend in South Wales, basically.
Oh, yes.
And I hung out a little bit
It's not a big city.
With While She Sleeps, lads. Shout out to our good friend, James Hill, who invited me down. I went for food with him and Sean and Matt from the band as well. We found an Italian restaurant in Bridgend, and it was a good laugh.
What?
Yeah, I didn't even know that thing. I didn't know those two and two things existed, but here we are.
I didn't think anyone in Bridgend likes foreigners, so I don't even know why they would why they would have an Italian restaurant. But that's awesome. I'm glad you found one. Was it good? What do you have? Let me guess your order. Wait.
Oh, here we go.
Spaghetti bolognese.
No, James had the bolognese. I had the carbonara. Right.
You've defeated the point of the game, haven't you? Ruined the game straight up.
Matt Welsh.
All right, I bet you had a carbonara.
Yeah, I did. How did you know?
Did it?
Yeah.
Well, cut the bit out, right, where you said the carbonara, and just put that back. I bet you had a carbonara.
I did.
Yeah, obvious, psychic. Man, obvious, plain taste.
Matt Welsh ordered like half the menu, though, fair play to him. He
good.
Rightly wanted a little feast. No, it was great. It was a great show. They smashed it. It was nice to see them play like a venue like that.
Yeah, I saw videos from the event and it looked fucking nuts. I'd imagine it was fucking extremely boiling hot.
It was.
And it was sweat dripping from the roof, I'd imagine.
But luckily, when you're a very important person like me,
I've heard about this, Mog. One of my band, I rehearsed last night with Raiders, right? That band we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
And one of them said, oh, I said, oh, did you see Morgan on the gig? He was like, yeah, barely though. He was too busy hanging out in his posh place where he could be with the bands. Apparently, I was like, wait, was he up the back by James Hill? Was he? Yeah. And he was like, yep.
Yeah, they had their own little fan next to us as well. So we were nice and cool.
Too big for the general public. Oh, guys, he does a podcast. And guess what? Now he's too big for the gen pub. That's what he calls you. He calls you normies to me. Civilians, he calls you. Losers. Scum, he calls you to me. I don't. I call you lovely humans. That's what I call you when I talk about our audience. And he said fans then. Morgan Richards took over then.
Well, you know, I was trying not to mingle with
I love how the tables are turning in this podcast, and it's now become that you're the one with the ego.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, ah, oh, fuck this shit. Nobody cares about me or my band.
It's been almost 3 years, so I think it's interesting. But no, it was a really nice time. So thanks to Sleeps for letting me hang out. I had a wonderful chat with Aaron before the gig as well, which was a good laugh. And just nice to see their team and that band doing amazing things because they are awesome. Saw Moose from Kill the Lights and formerly of Bullet for My Valentine as well.
Oh, nice. How was he?
Very good. He gave us some feedback. He said he loved the episode we did with David Lombardo.
I love the idea, right? I love the idea of Moose being at a gig. Of course he's fucking sleeveless in a t-shirt, right? And he's maybe wearing three-quarter length shorts, right? This is how I see him in my brain, right? And he just comes up to you and he's like, oh, I'm Og. All of a sudden, notepad out. Oh, I just want to give you a couple of notes on some things I noticed. But yeah, what did he have to say?
No, he said he really liked our episode with Dave Lombardo and he's suggested some contacts for us for some guests that might be of interest to us in the future. So, you know, maybe
like
some...
Like who? Tell me now. Tell me now on this.
No, because it's just going to be a surprise. Why? Because it ruins it.
Yeah, we don't know. We never know if we're going to get anybody. Look. We can name all the biggest bands in the world. Metallica. Guns N' Roses. We want to get Post Malone. We want to get all these people on. But whether we do is something else. Who did he give you I want to know. Look, let's excite the listeners with a potential... Ooh!
No, I'll tell you later. But if they want to give us some suggestions, they can head over to our social media pages
at SaplinPod
on Twitter and Instagram.
Oh, you massive one. That's at SAPPENINPOD. That's at SAPPENINPOD. I forgot then at the end. But yes.
We've gone
excellent.
We've gone on way too long, but a quick shout out to our wonderful Patreon community who wouldn't be
This is episode 147.
Yes.
Right? And for anybody who's listening who might get this reference, for episode 147, I really wanted to get Ronnie the Rocket O'Sullivan or Mark Williams, the snooker players, because the highest break you can get in snooker is a 147. And I thought having Ronnie O'Sullivan on to talk about rock and roll snooker and former addictions and the fact he's a mad bastard who can play with both hands, I thought that would be a good idea. So maybe in the future... I'm not against having anyone from any walk of life that's fucking cool. So, fingers crossed, we can get Ronnie O'Sullivan on. I can't believe I'm asking for Ronnie O'Sullivan on a podcast. Oh, can we get Tom Jones or what? He's playing with Stereophonics.
Oh, that's not unusual.
Look, you've made that before. Now, fuck up.
It's the easiest Tom Jones joke.
Answer the question. Do you think we can get Tom Jones on the podcast at that Stereophonics gig? Can we do a twofer? Let's get Kelly and Tom on at the same time.
I can't see why when he's on the green grass at home, so...
Fucking hate my life. Anyway, thank you very much to our patrons. Anyone who's currently a member, been a member. If you're thinking of becoming a member, do us a favour. Fucking hurry up and do it. Check out patreon.com/chatnin. There's loads of treats and other things that we've posted, from photos to videos. Other podcasts we've recorded, snippets of behind the scenes stuff, and you get to become part of our amazing, amazing, wonderfully supportive community who are as amazing to each other as they are to us. And by God, they're amazing to us. So yes, patreon.com/chatnin. If this is your first time listening to this, sorry, but also check out all the other episodes. We got some fucking beauties, and I bet there's some there you will enjoy. Fact. That's a fact. If your first time listening to this, you go listen to another episode, you don't enjoy it. Number one, you're fucking wrong. Number two, you're a liar. Number three, fuck you. Fuck you. You're wrong.
I agree with all three of those sentiments. But yes, if you head over to the description of this episode, you'll see loads of names in there from our Patreon that we need to thank. But as always, Sean is going to give a massive shout out to the elite members of our Patreon podcast community. Those are the top tiers. And these who are them.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Oh, nice. These are them. You thank much very to Wheeler Kylie. Thank you very much to Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwaway, Mikey Engler, Janelle Caston, Mitch Perry, Kelly Young, Kelly Irwin, Dilly Grimwood, Liam Connolly, Scooby Drew Styles, Paul Hirschfield, Nathan Croshaw, Emma Barber, Sammy G, Tony Michael, Kat Besant, Captain Hannibal, Jenny Robinson, Murray Grimwood, Mike Oxmall. Johnny Phillips, Amy Campion, Caroline Robinson, Chris Howard, Craig Gervin, Kevin Clark, Louis Cook, Martina McManus, Danny Eaton, Carl Pendlebury, James McNaught, Craig Lived the Dream, seeing Faf Live Again, Aris. Didn't we fucking both, Craig? Thank you very much. Jenny Munster, Lucy Deards, Emily Perry, Kelly Cannon, Stuart McNaught, Livy Cropper, John and Emma, Jason Oredia, Becky Andy, Lydia Henderson, Adam King of the Goths, Parslow, Ollie, another year older, but clearly not wiser because I still love the blackout Amesbury. Don't we all, Ollie? Don't we all? Happy birthday for today when we're recording this. Doesn't matter. Josh, my wife threatened to leave me if I didn't stop making Star Wars puns. I guess divorce is strong with this one. Chris, that's a joke my brother did online the other day.
Is it?
My brother does a joke on his Instagram every Wednesday called Shit Joke Wednesday. Yes. And that was one of them. So, Josh, that's awful. And now you owe my brother. Thank you very much. Alice Wood, Reese Bowring, Ben Evans, Amy Chilvers, Kat Stevenson, Connor Lewins, Daniel Stevenson, and last but no means least, the fantastic Kieran Allen.
Yes, thank you so much to every single person who helps make this thing happen each and every week. We would not be possible without you. We say it a lot, but we damn right fucking mean it. So thank you for all your support, you wonderful, wonderful humans. That's patreon.com/sapnin if you'd like to get involved and sign up to the tier that gets your name at the end of that. Change it to something funny. Sean's going to read it out. So I don't really care.
I am very much like Will Farrell, Ron Burgundy in Anchorman. I will read anything you put there. I don't see why more people in bands, right, or their own businesses don't sign up to a Patreon just to get mentioned.
Yeah. You think?
It just makes sense.
You think so? So, patreon.com/sapnin. But anyway, yeah, this
bands,
is being
bands, a- be better. Think better. How can you advertise better? Be on the end of the podcast. Just makes sense. Fucking all get together, fucking chip in, and fucking hell, you can afford it, man. You can afford it. Get in. Fuck's sake. I can't get over it. Do you know what? I might even sign up the Patreon myself so I remember to fucking mention Raiders.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I completely forget.
I know. That's why at least I'm here, though, to remind you of these things.
That is true.
It's been a wonderful episode again. Thank you so much to Kaya and Blood Youth for this.
Yes,
very emotional, very trustworthy, and I'm excited to see everything going forward for both the band and him personally in the future. Now, we'll be back next week and every Friday with a special guest in the form of a podcast. And until then, stay safe and party hard.
Yes, be excellent to each other. Party on, dudes. And Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.